Awakening to discouragement. Part of waking up is becoming sensitive to how we become discouraged, how we close down and where we go for false comfort. To wake up is to become aware of the tendency to judge ourselves, to take our failures personally, to fall into despair, self-pity, depression, frustration, anger, or wherever we tend to go when we believe the story that we are a person who can't do it right. Seeing all of this is enough. Awareness is its own action. We don't need to analyze it or impose changes based on our ideas of what should be happening. Just being awake to the present moment as it is, and seeing clearly what is happening, this is transformative. We are simply awake here and now. So many of you probably noticed that I'm wearing some new bling. This kind of golden brocade raksu with dragons and such. Emblematic of the ceremony that happened this weekend in which I received Inka Shomei, which means that I am, according to our tradition, now a, quote, Roshi. And that's a title. The title can be translated as old teacher, or as James Ford used to say, old fart. I prefer old fart myself. And it's interesting because at the ceremony, there was someone sitting nearby whom I met many years ago. And people had an opportunity to offer up some comments, folks who I've practiced with for some for a short time and others for a long time. Anyone who attended had this little opportunity. And this person said, you know, Mike, one of the things that I really appreciated about you right when I first met you is that it offered some encouragement for me. Because I realized, you know, you're just like a regular guy. And like, so just like a regular guy can do this. And it's funny that to me, that may be the most important thing that was said during the ceremony. This notion that somehow as we continue to practice, we might attain some sort of divine or superhuman capacities or state of being is an anchor, one that could drag us down. Certainly one that, if I believed, would separate me from you, wouldn't it? I could gather up a whole big ego around being special. And don't think I haven't tried. But life humbles me again and again. One of the ways that life sometimes humbles me is that I awaken discouraged. I awaken disappointed and discouraged and brokenhearted. And I realize that one of the reasons, or perhaps the main reason I feel this way, is based on, you know, everything happening in the news, We hear about war, shootings, climate crisis, disaster. We hear about threats to democracy, racism, oppressive new laws that discourage educators from discussing oppressive systems, anti-LGBTQ plus laws. It's a hard time. We are so caught up in separating ourselves out from one another, aren't we? I am this and you are shit. You are worse than me. You don't deserve to be seen. You are invisible. You don't deserve to exist. And that gets carried out in the most evil ways. And those of us who are Mahayana Buddhists have made a vow to save all beings. And we are humbled by our constant failure. You might think that's a bad thing, and therefore, well, why don't you just give up the vow? Then you could be happy. But maybe that's not the point of Buddhism. That's quite a shocker for some people who come to practice imagining that what they're going to get is just happiness. But what we get is life. What we get is reality. And sometimes we take our failure personally. It can be in relationship where there's somebody who we love and they don't love us back in the way we wish. Or it could be in our hopes for our careers, or it could be in our hopes for our practice and not being able to attain a particular state, or it could be in our hopes to free all beings. And it's amazing how quickly we make the story about ourselves, about what's wrong with me. And I'll tell you what, I'm a regular guy. I do that, and I wake up to it. Sometimes that's my practice. But there's this amazing thing that's thrown in through practice. It's the waking up part. The content of our lives may not change that much. Now, of course, we can do our best, and we will do our best to alleviate suffering in ourselves and in others. We will practice those skillful means. We will practice the precepts, which are our guide for how to alleviate suffering in ourselves and in the world. When we take up the precepts, we realize that when we speak in ways that elevate ourselves above others, not only do others suffer, but we do too. We suffer a sense of separation. We suffer hatred, anger, judgment, and it hurts to feel those things. When we steal from others, we suffer. When we steal the future of our children by destroying the rainforests or driving our cars that burn tons of gas, etc., etc., we suffer. So we have these guidelines, these precepts that help us to alleviate suffering. And when we take the precepts, meaning when we take them on, when we make that vow, we receive our first roksu, the bling that I'm wearing, the little bib that you can see around some folks' necks. And that's all this bib around my neck means. It means that I've taken these vows to live according to the precepts as best I can, to screw up, to fail, to try again, to atone, to aim to do a little bit better, to live a life of vow. Which is why we've called our new organization Living Vow. This is a life of vow that we take up in this practice. A life of vow to alleviate suffering in ourselves and in the world, because we are all so deeply interconnected that we can embrace these skillful means of the precepts to alleviate suffering. And even as we embrace these skillful means to alleviate suffering, we see that sometimes we can't. Sometimes we can't alleviate it in the world, and it hurts when that happens. There's that interconnectedness where the sense of self and other falls away, and there's just the heartbreak. Just the sadness. Where does it reside? It resides in the world. The world that you sometimes call you, I sometimes call me. That's the relative way of talking about it. But through this practice of attending to this sadness, anger, everything that arises, the joy, the vow, the fulfillment that comes. When we pay attention to everything that arises, when we pay attention to it, when we wake up discouraged, sometimes a little blessing comes with it, an irony, which is that we see that everything shines with the light of presence. Even our grief, even our anger, everything is shining with thusness, with presence, with what we call Buddha nature. And that sense of separateness, because everything is of this essence, which is no essence at all. There are no distinctions, no discriminations, just presence. And we're invited to it. We're invited into this through whatever is arising in this moment. The content is irrelevant. Joy, suffering, bird songs, painful knee. Oh my God, when is this talk going to be over? Oh, I love this talk, the most beautiful talk ever. All of it, every single thing in this world, every single thing, including you, is shining with this light. Indescribable. Words fail beyond all concepts. right under our noses. This is not some special state that the Roshi has attained and you have not. It is the world just as it is, with all of its pain and joy. Love, hate, agony, war, birds chirping in the tree. Every bit of it expresses the Buddha Dharma. Your life made up of all beings. That which we disappear into. We go about our projects hammering nails into the sky. We get attached. We start telling stories. Get caught up in the stories. Get lost. And we have this practice that invites us back. Just this. Again and again, returning, awakening to whatever is here. This is a practice that we are committing ourselves to. It's not an end goal that anybody gets to attain or hang around their neck like some gold medal. It's a path, it's a way of life. A commitment to alleviating suffering in this world as best we can. A commitment to turning toward whatever is here, whether it is joy and love in each other's joy or heartbreak and disappointment at the suffering surrounding us. We welcome it as our life. Whether it's even the moment when we take our failure personally, all we have to do is seeing it. See it. Seeing all of this is enough. Awareness is its own action. We don't need to analyze it or impose changes based on our ideas of what should be happening. Just being awake to the present moment as it is, seeing clearly what is happening, this is transformative. We are simply awake here and now. Thank you.